Good morning. Welcome to worship on this beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. So, what motivates you to action? An inner drive? A spouse? A child? A paycheck? God provides for us what is to be the proper motivation in all that we do. It's summed up in this. It is His mercy. That is the thought, dear friends, we want to build on this morning through our worship. So we ask our triune God to bless us in our worship of Him today. For those who are partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, if you are not a member of this congregation, I direct your attention to the bottom of page 2 of the service bulletin for a note regarding the Lord's Supper. The order of service is printed out for us in the worship bulletin. We turn our attention now to the first hymn in the red hymnal, hymn 484. Continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let your continually mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, and because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. As the Lord encouraged his prophet, so the Lord God continues to encourage you and me today. We hear these words. You understand, O Lord, remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. The word of the Lord. We continue in joining together in our Psalm 121. motivation is clear, to put God's will for us into practice, our second lesson from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The word of our Lord. We join in our verse of the day. Hallelujah. Your words became joy to me and the delight of my heart. Hallelujah. Please rise. The Holy Gospel from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Our Lord Jesus reminds us of the fact that the one with him, he or she is the winner. We hear these words of our Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? The Gospel of our Lord. We join together in confessing the Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance in this possible from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to our second reading for today, where we hear once again these words from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, you better do this or else. You should do this. You will do it this way. You have to. What do such phrases have in common? Each one has behind it all motivation, as well as carrying with it some sort of intimidation factor. Now, there is a time for law motivation, but law motivation is not the way to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. From the very beginning of time, God had set a clear motivation for obedience. And that motivation is rooted in a love for Him, as well as an appreciation for all that He has done and continues to do for us. This gospel motivation is central to our existence as a congregation. And all that we, by the grace and will of God, hope to accomplish as a congregation of believers. What we want to accomplish as faith in Jesus, brothers and sisters, is beautifully in the words, glorify God, grow in grace, go with the gospel. So how do we continue to stay about that purpose? And not just have such become words written on a wall or on a piece of paper. Our sermon text from the book of Romans provides an excellent reminder of how, as it sums up what is to be the proper motivation in our lives and behind our work here together at Mark's. The reminder, a snapshot, living in view of God's mercy. Now, why is that significant? Well, for starters, keep in mind, God does not give us what we deserve. Knowing this, then, leads to what we call acts of worship. We do not come out of our mother's womb eager to live our lives for God. Rather, just the opposite. King David confessed about himself, and his confession applies to each and every one of us. Psalm 51, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And in Ephesians 2, this is what can be said of each one of us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were by nature objects of wrath. We, in other words, are not starting out our life on God's good side. Further proof of this can be found in our words and actions from knee-high to a grasshopper on. Who do people have a tendency to talk more about? Me, myself, and I, right? We even have a country song which includes the line, sometimes I want to talk about me. And a good share of our actions are prompted by what is in it for me. It should not be only in times of crisis or disaster that we find a heart for those who are in need. And think of a little child, cute and innocent in appearance, but it does not take long for the manipulation games to begin. Put down, cry, hold. Stop, put down, cry, and so on. And then we get to the stage when everything in the room is mine. Yes, by nature, we are self-focused human beings who are in need of the law to point this out about us. A self-focused attitude can reveal itself in a church setting as well. Because every day of our existence here on earth, we have a battle taking place inside of us. No exceptions. Who here can say that they do not have an ego? Who here can say that they have never thought or uttered the word, we have never done it that way before? We always do it this way with the thought of don't even think of suggesting a change around here. Those are words, by the way, that can kill the ministry zeal of a church and keep volunteers and visitors at a distance. A faulty motivation can take place as well, Good intentions, perhaps, and wanting to get people involved, but faulty nonetheless, such as if you want to be considered a member in good standing, then you need to attend X amount of number of worship services or give X amount of money to the church. Dear friends, more than we would care to admit, each one of us has lost the battle to our sinful nature as it rears its ugly head in our words and actions and thoughts. But, and this is no ordinary UT, we do not need to dwell on our sins, for God has done something about the sins which he knew way in advance that we would commit against him and against one another. He sent his Son to redeem us, that is, to buy us back from the clutches of sin. Jesus lived the perfect life expected of us, but which we in no way could live up to. And he took that perfect life to the cross he died upon. For our sin called for the shedding of blood, but not just any blood. It had to be perfect blood. And there was only one person, and is only one person, capable of providing such blood: Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross with all people in mind, not just those who would believe. Those who believe in Jesus receive what he has done and accomplished by way of that cross: forgiveness with God our Creator. For our sins have been forgiven, deleted from God's sight. By the grace of God, we have been transformed. We have been converted from unbelief to belief, from self-focused individuals to God-focused people. Thus, we are given this encouragement: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Such a transformation in us is, again, all God. For by nature, we are not in tune with the God of the Bible. He is the one who calls and gathers and equips us unto himself. He does this through his means of grace, his tools for bringing and keeping people in the saving faith. These means are the gospel in written word and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It is through these means that God keeps our minds focused, not on self, but on him and his will for us and on others. It is through these means that we have been given the proper motive to live our lives to God's glory. For it is not about us, what we do and accomplish, and our attempts to earn his favor. Rather, it is out of love for him, the undeserved favor that he has shown toward us. And that word mercy reminds us of the fact that God does not give us what we deserve. The prophet Jeremiah even points out how often you and I are able to receive God's mercy. His mercies are new and fresh every morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been transformed. Think about this. We have been transformed by the living God, the God of mercy. Not by scare tactics or for ulterior motives or even by our own desire. We have been transformed to live for him who lived, died, and lives again. 2 Corinthians 5 puts it this way: for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live, you and me, should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That, dear friends, is what we call living in view of God's mercy. Part of living in view of God's mercy includes knowing what God's will is for us. But it's more than just knowing that will. It's putting that will into practice, for God has not called us to sit on the sidelines. Faith in Jesus cannot help but express itself in obedience. Obedience motivated by God's mercy in our life. God's will for us is found in one place. the inspired and inerrant Bible. His will for us is perfect, pleasing, beneficial to us and to others. In Matthew 22, Jesus put God's will for us in these words. Love the Lord your God. How much? With all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Another way of summing up God's will for us is found in these words, keeping in mind what God wants for all people. Come to faith, grow in this faith, live in light of this faith, share this faith, receive the goal of this faith. As noted then, it is not enough to just know the will of God for our lives. There is a reasonable expectation for us to put that will into practice. We see how beautifully the scriptures keep tying themselves together as Jesus makes this point in Luke 11. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Again, our desire to obey it comes in light of God's mercy. So when it comes to situations we may find ourselves in on a day-to-day basis, it's okay. Go ahead and ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? We ask this knowing what Jesus has already done for us. We are not to conform to the pattern of this world. And we well know that the world, society, has come to accept what it has come to accept as normal is not always in sync with God's word. God knows it is not an easy thing to stand out from the views and actions of the world. He is fully aware of the crosses in his name that you and I might have to bear, as our words and our actions, our life and our advice may be in conflict with what the world says and does, from abortion, marriage arrangement, party hardy, and to the attitude that the one with the most toys in life wins. As we review what God's will is for our life, in contrast to what we ourselves want for it and what the world has to say about living life, we see that His will is best because it is rooted in no ordinary love. His desire and His actions have you and me and all in mind. If you ever then have doubts about God's love for you and His will for your life, think upon the cross His Son died on and the tomb He left empty. There is no greater love and no greater display of what it means to not be self-absorbed. Living in view of God's mercy then leads to acts of worship. Worship is not just what we are doing here today. It includes how we are to go about life every day, from the mundane things in life to the special things we get to do. This act of worship concept is applicable then to each and every one of us. Part of this worship includes an attitude of humility, not thinking more of ourselves than we ought, or not looking down on others. Another aspect of it includes thinking that there is nothing I can do. For God equips each and every one of us for works of service, though we are not all identical, and that is a good thing. There is no need then to be jealous of one another or despairing. Rather, God's will includes encouraging one another in life and around the church. When it comes to the church, there is plenty to do, isn't there? Working together as one, only God knows the limits of what can be done through this congregation. Not everyone has to be a pastor or a teacher, but everyone can speak about Jesus. Some are good at organizing, and some are better in support roles. One role is not better than the other. In fact, at times, there can be too many people trying to be in charge. Imagine that. Some among us are gifted with what seems to be the right words at the right time. Keep on encouraging, for who does not need encouragement? Some have more of an awareness to the needs of people around them and an ability to provide for those needs. Great. This is a gift from God too. Not everyone has to go and knock on doors, but everyone can support such efforts through prayers and words of encouragement and financial support and so on. Bottom line, we ask God to help identify the different gifts among us, to put those gifts into practice, and to have such efforts then bear fruit to the glory of His name as we seek to live our lives in view of His mercy. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, may that continue to be the motivation, not only through today, but every day. For God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness to you and to me and to all. With joy then in our hearts, we seek to glorify our God in all that we do. In accordance with His will for us, we then want to make it a priority to learn more about His will for us day in and day out. And we can do that by formal worship and Bible study and private meditation. And finally, we desire to share His love through the gospel with others. A love evident in our own life, so that they too with us can live their life in view of God's mercy. What a world that would be. As people serious about making a difference as a congregation and individually, praise God with me that the motivation has been given to us and the direction we are to go is clear. May that continue to be our prayer for this congregation. To God be the glory, as we seek to glorify His name, grow in His grace, and go with His gospel. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
We offer up this prayer in response to our thank offerings. We pray, Savior, your dying love you have given us, nor should we aught withhold, dear Lord, from you. In love our soul would bow, our heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring you now, something for you. Amen. Glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and clouds are messengers of your wonder and might. For your creation we praise you, O Father. We pray for your church and your people. Grant us ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit and earnestly hold forth your word of life. Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of your word. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. Bestow your favor on all useful labor in industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement your people may prosper. We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in anxiety or perplexity, for all who may be suffering disappointment or defeat. Be present with them in their afflictions. Show them the way out of all their troubles and save them for your mercy's sake. And this includes Pam Drennan, Bev Heinitz, David Haugen, Clara Jackson, Stan Coleman, and Eva Willis, who we met on the Praise and Proclaim Outreach event. And for those privileged to celebrate another year of grace on earth, we commend them to your care for safekeeping, spiritual above all. Open their eyes to the blessings you have put into their life. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary at this time of year, thank you as we ask you to strengthen their love for one another and for you as they reflect on your love for them. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the identity of St. Mark's in our community with the goal of talking up the Savior. Open the hearts of people we contacted. Gospel seeds were planted. And we pray for fruit that they too may live life in view of your mercy. For those partaking of the Lord's Supper this day, through this means of grace, so strengthen their faith as you have promised through the assurance of sins forgiven. As such, may they continue to not only pay attention themselves to your saving means, but also encourage others to do the same. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petition. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions that you read in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Glad you're all here in the house of the Lord, members and guests alike. Hopefully you'll take the opportunity to continue to greet one another before you leave God's house this morning, whether it be in the pew or in the entryway. Just want to say right off the bat, thank you for your indulgence as you learn to work with two new pastors, and two new pastors learn to work with you. I know Pastor Groth is in a routine already, and I'll work on getting in one, so apologize in advance if we're doing something different, not trying to offend. We're learning traditions, and some traditions going forward will stay, and some may go. It all depends what is best for the ministry at St. Mark's in proclaiming the Word, because that's the one thing that can't change, is the Word of our Lord. So again, thank you for your patience. In advance. Thank you also for your great and warm welcoming to me and my family. Just to highlight a few announcements, Bible study taking place today. The book of Romans continues here in the church proper. The teens will meet in the upper room, the teen room. We're starting a new Bible study today called Martin Luther and the Long Reformation. So the Romans study will take place over here. Luther and the Reformation will take place over here. No, actually, I'm not sure what room the Reformation one. Which one? Luther room. That's a good place to have. Luther and the Long Reformation. So next building over, the Luther room. And then, no. The gym. Luther got bumped. I shall not and I will not. No. just kidding. Thank you. All right. We'll get that all figured out. So thanks for your patience. Also, real quickly, then, a woman's Bible study, a mom's Bible study, will be in room 803, I believe, is what it says. So please find that. Partners in Education, that's connected as well with our membership class, 5 o'clock tonight in the gym? Mr. Bauer's room. All right, keep that in mind. And then also, a note from Pastor Groth. We're looking at to start public instruction classes for our children who are attending public school in 7th and 8th grade. We're looking at Monday nights, 5:30 to 6:30. So if you have any feedback on that, please speak with Pastor Groth. A Mighty Warriors update. Yesterday we went out. There were 22 volunteers who went out in the neighborhood. We visited 420 homes, and 87 seeds were planted. So thank you for all those who went out and for those who support that. We still have more to do, so if you're interested in taking a package of invites, this is for the Meet the Pastors picnic, please contact Jim Oswald or Brett Mingle, and they'll get you set up with those packages. Just an FYI, both pastors will be gone on Monday. We have a pastor's conference in Clovis. Worship will still take place on Monday night. If you need us during the day, just contact the office. Carolyn knows how to get a hold of us. For more details and timely information, I direct your attention to the weekly notes. If you need a copy, please ask one of the ushers and they'll direct you to a copy of that. Then also, just a reminder, Friendship Sunday on October 8th, a little invite that's put in your worship bulletin, so take note of that. And last but not least, our president, Mike Rausch, would like to speak with you regarding Crossroads.
Thanks, Pastor. Crossroads. I have not harped at you about Crossroads for probably 2 or 3 months, so it's time again. You guys will all remember back in June, we had our phase two weekend where we did kind of the diagnostic where we are, where we've been historically. Soon we will start phases 3 and 4, which is where we are going. And along those lines, there's a couple of really key dates coming up. The first one is October 14th. We will have a morning seminar. That seminar has kind of two main components. The first one will be a review of where we are, the phase two results. The good, the bad, the ugly, and just exactly where we are, get regrounded on that. And then the other thing we'll do is launch phase three with some preparing for change seminars. It's going to be good. You guys have seen Pastor Stroh and his team are always well prepared with good information for us. The second date will be just the week after, and that'll be October 22, as well as October 23 for the Monday night group. And we will have a little bit of an abbreviated service, and then we're going into what we call listening sessions. These are absolutely critical, so we want to make sure everybody knows about them and everybody plans to attend. We'll break into small groups all over the place, and we will spend as much time as needed, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, really working through what ministry should look like and getting everybody's inputs on that. This is everybody's big chance for the next 3 to 5 years. Those priorities and those ministries are going to get heavily, heavily influenced by what we hear in the listening sessions. So that's what's up with Crossroads. Want to make sure everybody knows about it. Tom and Pam Schlittenhardt have been wonderful. They've been our program managers, our liaisons for Crossroads. They've got a table set up. There's tons of information. So stop and see them if you need anything more. And then while I'm up here, there's two other quick things. One is we're going to be bringing back the wish list. And so many people have asked me and maybe in the last weeks and months about, look, have we got any special projects? Maybe I have 20 extra bucks, 100 extra bucks, whatever, and I'd really like to do something around here. So that's going to be getting going again. Donna Williamson has been kind enough to agree to kind of lead that program. And so look forward to that. There'll be, I think the first three things are already known. We're going to do some new furniture in the office for our new pastors. That's one. Another one is some upgrades to the microphones up here. So those kind of things that are just a little bit extra to the budget, and people are often real excited about that. And then Donna also asked me while I was up here to remind everybody we got a big 500th anniversary coming up at the end of October. So get that on your radar screen. It's going to be packed here. We have all the congregations from the area, so they're really trying to prepare the numbers on that, so there's sign-up sheets for that as well. That's it, so please greet each other on the way out the door.